to praise our Savior and Lord, because our God does save, and He's a wonderful God. And yet we have this amazing scripture that deals with every kind of human emotion that there is, right? God doesn't say, oh, just be happy here, or just be sad here, or just be kind of mediocre. Scripture goes the full gamut and says, I know you're human. I know you're going to have these different kinds of emotions. So this morning, Todd is going to give us a message on the Psalm of Lament and what that means for us. So I'm so looking forward to what he has to say and how wonderful it is to know that when we are feeling low or sad, God gets it. He is right there for us. And so, Todd, we're looking forward to it. And as you know, Todd recently graduated from Fuller, and he did a special study on this. And so I'm super excited. If you would, the yellow cards are in the pew racks in front of you, and the black books, if you would sign those and fill those out. And when the offering plate comes, you can put your yellow cards into the offering plate, and we will pray for them on Tuesday morning. At this time, if you would turn and greet one another, that would just be wonderful, and tell someone that you're glad that they're here this morning. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In humility and faith, let us confess our sin to God. Merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart and mind and strength. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. In your mercy, forgive what we have been. Help us amend what we are, and direct what we shall be, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. I declare to you in the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. May the God of mercy, who forgives you all your sins, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. Let us pray together. Lord, we thank you that you are a God who loves us enough to walk with us through the valleys, that you are there on the mountaintops and when we struggle. We have so much to be thankful for, but most important, we are thankful for you and your abiding presence with us. What would we do without it? We are also thankful for the relationship that we have with you, a relationship made possible by what you accomplished on the cross, redeeming and reconciling us. We are thankful, Lord, that we do not have to live under condemnation anymore, that you have truly set us free, that we are a new creation. And now your mighty power is at work in us, transforming us, renewing our minds. To you, Lord, belong the glory. And God, we're also aware that we're unworthy to come into your presence because of our sinfulness, and we've sinned against you, Lord, and we've offended you. And yet you, a merciful God, you always forgive us. We ask, Lord, now that you would do that, as we asked in the prayer of confession earlier. But anything that we haven't given to you, anything that we are still holding on, Lord, we release it to you. We pray that you would forgive us and allow us ourselves to forgive others. By your Spirit, O God, take possession of our hearts so that not only the actions of our life, but also the words of our mouths and the smallest thoughts may be guided and governed by you. And as we bring our thanks and sins to you, we also bring those we love who are weighted down with grief and limitations, pain and sickness. We intercede for the Eldridge Dixon family this morning. Be with all of them and bring them comfort and hope. We pray for Joanne as she continues to grieve the loss of Jim Walker. with all those, Lord, who've suffered loss in our congregation, and there are many. Please comfort, assure, and minister to their grief. We also lift up Cynthia Blank before you today as her husband, Jeff, worsens. Bring Cynthia strength and courage, and we pray for healing for Jeff. And also others who are recovering and also ill, we lift up Judy Van Gastel, Betty Rager, Cheryl Pasquinelli, and so many more who struggle. We ask for your abiding presence, healing touch. We stand in the gap, Lord, on their behalf and on behalf of their loved ones, and we ask for a healing in body, mind, and spirit. We pray for perseverance of will. We pray for hope in their hearts and truth to sustain their minds. Finally, we ask that your name be glorified in our congregation, that we see spiritual awakening and renewal as your Holy Spirit fills and anoints us. Prepare us as we anticipate Onori Church joining in partnership with us next Sunday. May we truly welcome them. And we know, Lord, that we will be able to do so much more for your kingdom together. So, Lord, do your kingdom work among us. Equip us for the responsibilities you give us as a church. Empower our leadership with a vision and wisdom, and make disciples of each and every one of us. And now, as our Savior taught us, let us pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
This is from Psalm 3. O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no salvation for him in God. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory and the lifter of my head. I cried aloud to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy hill. I lay down and slept. I woke up again, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of many thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you strike all my enemies on the cheek, you break the teeth of the wicked. Salvation belongs to the Lord, your blessing beyond your people.
Thank you, Jordan. Many of us in this room have experienced suffering. I asked Jordan to read because Jordan and his extended family have recently experienced suffering with the memorial yesterday for his Uncle Bill and other deaths that have, you know, affected the family. They've had more than their fair share. But I ask you, how do we respond to suffering as Christians? You know, is our faith any good when we hurt? Where is God when we suffer? And how do we pray when we suffer? Well, the good news is that our faith is something that can help us when suffering comes our way. That there is an example of praying when we suffer. Psalm 3 that Jordan just read is an example of that. So what I want to do this morning is start off our conversation about suffering with the three questions that people ask, or potentially can ask, when suffering comes their way. The first is they can question, you know, why did this happen to me? You know, or anger, it's, I don't deserve this. Why? It's not fair. And you can also respond with just silence. Numb silence, because it's too much, or you don't know how to respond to the suffering. Well, let's take a look at the first response, questioning. So when things happen, we want to explain why, don't we? in this enlightened age, we almost need to have a reason. Stock market goes up, there's a reason. Stock market goes down, there's a reason. There's a reason in our culture for everything. And this includes the necessity to explain why we suffer, why bad things happen. There is a fancy name for this. It's called theodicy. And a theodicy is the answer to the question of why God permits evil. Now, people come up with various theodicies, various reasons why they think God lets suffering happen. And Richard Rice, in his book on this whole thing called Suffering and the Search for Meaning, identifies a number, and I've put some up here. The first is perfect plan theodicy, that God has a perfect plan for absolutely everything, and things always happen because that's God's will. We just don't know the reason all the time. You know, it's in God's sphere. There's also the free will defense theodicy, is that God gave Adam and Eve free will. He gives us free will. And sometimes we make choices that cause suffering on other people, on innocent people, sometimes on ourselves. There's also the soul-making theodicy. And this one I think you will have heard is that God's trying, you're laughing, Frank. God's trying to teach me something by this. And there's also the cosmic conflict theodicy, that God and Satan are in this cosmic duel, and the war goes back and forth, and we are foot soldiers in God's army, and sometimes there are casualties, and we suffer because of this. Now, there's scriptural support for all of these, but there are also some problems with using them. The first is that some people will use the same reason for absolutely everything, which, it's a way to do it, but it may not be right, because there's not just one theodicy in the Bible, there are many, and I think when we feel suffering, sometimes we do different explanations for it, I think, that feel comfortable to us. Secondly, giving someone a reason may make things worse. You can add guilt on top of the suffering that they're already going through, for instance. People are in a vulnerable state when they're really suffering, and we need to help them deal with their suffering, not add other things on. And thirdly, from a practical standpoint, we may not know why. And it may also not be what we need to hear. In that songwriter's case, when he lost his wife and his son, is any reason going to help him in that suffering? I think not. So what does the Bible say? We're a Bible-believing church. The Bible is loaded with lament. And generally, lament is a passionate expression of grief or sorrow. And particularly what I want to focus on this morning is the Psalms, because there are approximately 58 Psalms that are classified as Psalms of Lament. That's over a third of the total number of Psalms. And I've given you a sample of these in the insert in your church bulletin. Maggie's got one there. So the lament in the Bible is not just an expression of grief. It's that, but there's always a turn towards God in that. And that is what we need. We need a practical theodicy that acknowledges our grief, our sorrow, but then turns our focus upon God, not just what a pitiful situation we're in. And I'm calling this a Christian lament. So if this idea is new for you, I want to look at Psalm 3 in a little bit more detail, the psalm that Jordan just read. Now, Psalm 3 was attributed to David, written by David, and the situation is that David is running for his life. His son Absalom is out to kill him for his throne. And Psalm 3 is how David responds. And if you want to read more about this, it's in 2 Samuel chapters 15 to 18. So let's turn to Psalm 3 and see how David responds to this evil. The first thing is that David addresses the Lord. First thing out of the box. And that's a common characteristic of Psalms of Lament. Not a general complaint to everyone, but a complaint to God. Then we hear David's complaint. He says, "O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no salvation in him, in God and for him." Then David moves beyond this complaint to an expression of trust. He says, "But you, Lord, are a shield about me. My glory, the lifter of my head. I cried aloud to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy hill." But after this expression of trust, it turns again. And David gives his petitions, what he thinks he wants, what he wants done to help him in his suffering. He says, "Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God. For you strike my enemies on the cheek, and you break the teeth of the wicked." So David wants relief here. But that's not where it ends. David turns again to an expression of certainty that God has heard him. And he praises God. He says, "Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing be on your people." Now, lament is not just for David. A lament is for all of us here. It's what enables us to engage with God at our time of suffering. So instead of having this intellectual exercise about why this is happening, as I said, lament turns our focus to God and reminds us and assures us that God is with us. It's the purpose of this Christian lament, to remind us that we are not alone. So if the first response is questioning, what about the second response? Well, you're angry. As I said, we can be angry in our suffering because we just feel it's not fair. You know, why am I afflicted? Why did my spouse have to die? Why did I have to lose my job? Why, whatever. And so, is anger a sin? Well, no. Anger is not a sin. Anger is an emotion. It's what you do with that emotion that's important. In Mark chapter 3, verse 5, Jesus gets angry. He's angry because the Pharisees are trying to test him whether he's going to heal on the Sabbath or not. And so does Jesus turn this anger and sin? Well, of course not. Jesus just turns and heals the man with the withered hand. So anger can rob us of our trust in God and our hope in Jesus. So that's why we can't just sit there and dwell in it. Instead, we have to move past our anger and enter into a dialogue with our loving Father. You know, a faith that is alive is a faith that is in dialogue with God. In dialogue with God. And Psalm 3 is a dialogue between David and God. Well, the last response to suffering I'm going to go over is silence. You might ask, is this bad? You know, shouldn't we suffer in silence? Why should we bother other people? Well, silence makes it worse because it makes us feel alone. Jesus does not want us to feel alone. In John chapter 14, verse 16, Jesus says he will send the Holy Spirit to us to be with us always. Not just when we're good and up and happy, but also when we're hurting, when we're sad. Especially when we're sad, Jesus does not abandon us. An expression of Christian lament allows us to vocalize our feelings, our anger, our rage. But more importantly, it gives us that chance to move away from that. And this trust and hope that we have in God is what our anger can rob us of, which is what we don't want. Now, some may feel that, well, expressing our anger is wrong. That, I mean, that, well, or suffering. I remember, an aside, I was in football in high school, and it's hard to believe, but, you know, there are the coaches that all tell you when you hurt and you suffered, well, you just kind of suck it up and deal with it, right? You can apply that to your suffering. And some in the church will say, well, hasn't Jesus' death and resurrection made suffering unnecessary? That all that stuff in the Old Testament has been superseded by Jesus' death and resurrection? Because you want to express your suffering, does that mean you don't have enough faith? No. No. If you think that, you are wrong. We live in a fallen world. There is suffering all around us, and it's not your fault. And if you put the burden of it's their fault on a person who is suffering, you are making it worse. If you make it a sin to express your burden, you're putting that burden on the person who is suffering, and that's the last thing they need at that point. Theologian Walter Brueggemann notes that in this type of situation, that there is a terrible temptation to change pain into guilt. Do not put the burden on yourself like that. If you are suffering, you are guilty of nothing. Brueggemann adds that the Psalms of the Lament are the voice of the innocent, not the voice of the guilty. Instead of silence, we need to connect again with God, the God that is with us. Well, my personal experience when I've been suffering or feeling down, I've kind of looked through the Psalms trying to pick something that kind of would match. And sometimes I can find stuff, but other times not. And if you can't find a psalm that matches your feeling at the moment, don't despair. Just as we can use the Lord's Prayer as a template for our prayers, so too we can use the Psalms as a template for how we pray when we're suffering. Because you can write your own psalm of lament. Truly, you can. I've done it. It's therapeutic. But it's amazing how it expresses your trust but brings you closer to God at the same time. And I want to challenge you to do it this week. Not just because I'm giving you assignments, but being able to pray during suffering is a tool you must have in your prayer toolbox. Because suffering will come our way. And you need to be ready for this. As Christians, we need to be ready when faced with suffering. So writing your own lament is not hard. You can look at Psalm 3 for a guide. I chose Psalm 3 because it's fairly short. But I wanted to give you more specific outlines how you write your own Psalm of Suffering. So in the handout in your bulletin, I've written down the steps suggested by the Scottish theologian John Swinton. And he gives six steps. Pretty easy. The first is, as David did, we address our complaint to God. That's who we're praying to. Call him by name, you know, a phrase or a title. Many, many names. Next, as David did, we vocalize our complaint. Why are we suffering? And you can list several complaints. Doesn't need to be just one. But we don't stop there, but we turn and we express trust in God. You can see this pattern that with our complaints, we trust God. With our petitions, then we go back to God. So after our first expression of trust, then we give our appeal to God. What we want God to do, whether it's to heal us, give us guidance, something else. But it's followed with an expression of trust in God, that God hears us and that God will deliver us. Something like, I know, dear God, that you will do this for me. And lastly, we close with an expression of praise and assurance of our love for God. You know, the hope of the lamenter is ultimately in the promise of the gospel. It's not for victory or vengeance or earthly restitution, but it's for our togetherness with Jesus forever in heaven. It gives a Christian lament result in that intimacy with God and our hope in the future. Well, these last few minutes I've talked about the practice of Christian lament and why it's important. And if we suffer, we do not need to look for reasons why, but we need to look to the Almighty God who is already with us. We need a practical theodicy, as provided in the Psalms of Lament. So I encourage you to express your lament when it comes upon you. Don't try to figure it out or just dwell in it or take it in silence. But express it and draw closer to God who is always with you. And remember that we have a God who is with us. Emmanuel is God with us. And that's not just for the Christmas season, but it's for all time. So even Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane demonstrates lament. In Matthew chapter 26, in verse 38, Jesus says, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow at the point of death." And in verse 39, Jesus gives his petition to God. He says, Jesus fell on his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me." But finally, where does Jesus go? Verse 42, he says, "My Father, if it's not possible for this cup to be taken unless I drink from it, may your will be done." Jesus expresses lament. He addresses his Father. He describes the situation, and he asks for his petition that he not have to do this, but he submits to God's will. And God was with him, even in this dark, dark time. God is with us too. So please join me in prayer. Dear Lord, the world seems to crumble around us. We ask why, and we look to you for explanations. But we do not need explanations to feel at peace. We need you, Lord, and you are with us. Give us this peace in troubled times. Be with us. Comfort us. Your name is Emmanuel, or God with us. Of this we are certain. And with our own explanations, there can be doubt, but we can be certain that God is with us. We trust that no matter how bleak things seem to be, no matter what happens, that we will be with you in heaven and the end. Praise be the name of Jesus. Amen. I think it's been a good morning. We have had the chance to sing our praises to God. We've been able to confess our sins, and we have assurance that they have been forgiven. We've had a chance to see how God is with us, even when we suffer. And we have an example of how we can pray, too, when we suffer. And lastly, we've had the privilege, the honor, to remember the greatest gift of love, the sacrifice of Jesus in his giving of his body and blood for us. So now, let us go out into this imperfect world that we live in. Let us show the love of Christ with our words and our deeds, with confidence that God is with us. So may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen.